verse 9, Joel 3, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Everybody say, let the weak say, I am strong. Is any area in your life where you feel like you may be weak? Raise your hand if you can say there is. Okay, all of you with your hands up, lift it just a little higher, and shout real loud, I am strong.
I am strong.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Felt good to shout that, didn't it?
Yes.
Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. Amen. And I want to look at another scripture here too, if I can find them. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, the 12th chapter. Amen. And I started verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Would you turn the air down? Everybody say, the strength of God is made perfect in weakness. And this is a word of Jesus in answer to Paul as he was seeking the Lord. And Jesus spoke back to him in a way that he could recognize. And he sought the Lord three times because of the weakness of his flesh. That was his thorn. His flesh. A lot of people will argue different things. You know, Paul had this problem, Paul had that problem, Paul was this, Paul was that. Well, regardless of what else it might have been, I know I'm right about this. He had a thorn in the flesh. Because that's what the Bible says. And I've got the same thorn. If it wasn't for the flesh, I'd get along a lot better, but I don't know if y'all could see me or not. Things would go a whole lot better in my life without the thorn. That is a messenger of Satan that does buffet us. That's how Satan comes with his messages. In studying the scripture, I don't believe Satan is opposite equal with God. But there are so many devils on the loose, it seems like he's everywhere all the time. And you can just give in to your weakness and you're going to find devils to buffet you and to make you feel like it's not worth it. Why not just give up? But what kind of a deal would that be? Give up on God? Give up on that which gives us victory and go back to enjoying our defeat that we once knew? I don't think that's a good deal. Throw in the towel. Throw in the towel on what? After we've come this far by faith and we've been blessed, we've had so many good things to happen in our lives. We've seen so much victory, and then because of we're having problems and weaknesses and bad thoughts and things tormenting us and sicknesses and afflictions, these temptations come. Just give up. Oh, wait a minute. Give up what? Give up God? Give up the answer? Give up the solution to our problems? No way. No, no. If I'm going to give up something, I'm going to give up that messenger of Satan. I don't want to give up God. I'd rather have pain and enjoy God than to have no God and no pain. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'd rather know God and suffer than to not suffer and not know God. And the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made weakness, or made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, everybody say, when I am weak,
when I am weak,
then am I strong.
Then am I strong.
Let's praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God does not do things the way we reason in our minds that He should do things. If I were God, I'd probably do things a whole lot different the way God does. Sometimes I don't understand God. I know all of you understand God all the time, but sometimes I just don't understand God. I don't understand His way, but you know, the Word of God says that His way is above our way, and His thoughts are above our thoughts, and His mind is higher than our way of thinking. And I see things sometimes I don't understand, and I look and I ask God, Lord, will You do something about this? I know You have the power. I know You have what it takes, and I pray, and it seems like sometimes my prayers don't see any change in the situation. It's still like it was when I get through praying. And then I, you know, ask myself, what's happening? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not praying right. Or maybe there's something I'm missing here. And I pray again. And when I get through praying, it's still, the weakness is still there, the problem is still there, the challenge is still there. The struggles, the troubles, it's all still like it was. Then it's comforting to know the Word of God that tells us His way is not our way. And that we can trust Him when we don't understand. We can seek for understanding. We can seek for answers. We can seek for wisdom. We can seek for God's mind to be in us through Jesus Christ. Because He is the answer. He is the problem solver. He knows the end from the beginning. You know, I hear people concerned because they pray and pray and pray and to try to get something to happen. And it just doesn't happen. And it's what they really wanted. It's what they really wanted. Not anything that was wrong, but something that they really wanted with all their heart to happen in their lives. And it just doesn't happen. And I often tell these people who are friends of mine, well, quite possibly, there is a reason that we don't know about that God knows. There is something going on that we do not see because He does see and knows where every path leads. He knows where we're going. When we start in any direction, He knows, God knows everything that's in that direction. Amen. As soon as we make a choice in our lives, as soon as we decide to do anything with that choice in our lives, the great, magnificent, awesome God we serve knows what will happen as a result of that choice. He knows every detail and everything that's going to be in our way, everything that's going to come against us, everything that will offset us if it can, every struggle we're going to be faced with. And immediately, no matter what direction we were going in before we made this change, suddenly, all the circumstances and all the things that God knew about would be there if we kept going that way are now different.
Right.
And so suddenly, we find ourselves faced with new things happening because our choices will make a difference in what happens in our lives. You can make a choice on a job. You can decide, I'm going to try to get this new job. And as a result of it, if you get the job, there are a lot of things that will happen as a result in the future that are not the same things that would have happened if you had stayed where you are. You might get up one morning and decide you'd just like to go driving. Just get in your car and go drive around. And it could be that on this particular day when you get out and you just go around a few blocks and you just listen to a few tapes and enjoying the day, that you may find yourself stopped and suddenly somebody hits you from the rear and pops your neck and makes you hurt and tears your car up. And then you wish you hadn't gotten out of bed to get in that car and take that drive. And you know, if you hadn't decided to get in that car and take that drive that day, things would not be the same. You wouldn't go around holding back your neck all the time. But what I'm saying is, God knows what we don't know. And so He says to all of us, no matter what we feel like, no matter how weak we may think we are, say, "I'm strong." Because God knows where the strength is. God is still the answer for everything that can happen in our lives. And if you don't know you're strong, say it anyhow, because God says we're strong. And He says, let the weak... It would be a lie for you in your weakness to say, "I am strong," if God didn't know something we don't know. Hallelujah. God knows something. He knows something. I don't know, because I'm telling you, sometimes in our weak, I'm weak. I want to say, "I'm weak." And it seems like I'm telling the truth. And I don't feel good. And I'm so weak today. And things are just not going right. I believe in what the Lord is teaching us and dealing with us here in these words. It's not just when you're weak, say, "I'm strong." But He's saying in our whole way of looking at things, remember, you've got God in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's going on. When you're feeling bad, then according to what God is instructing here, whether it seems right or not, you can say, "I feel good." Your body's aching, your back's hurting, you're just having a miserable day. And you're going around saying, "I feel good."
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, this joy I have, and you've just taken bankruptcy. Or you've just had the rug pulled out from under you. You've had all kinds of terrible things happening, and you're saying, "I'm so happy, 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 I'm so happy." And the people think we're crazy. Amen. And it seems that way. The only thing that makes it not insanity is the fact that God is real. His word is true. And His way is right. Thank you, Jesus. So I've got this flesh to deal with. Messenger of Satan, always said, "You may as well forget it. You may as well not even try." You ever had a messenger come from Satan in that way? "Oh, look at you now. Look at you now." If it won't come at you in your own flesh, it'll come up in somebody else's flesh that's very close to you. Like a husband or a wife or a child, a son or a daughter, a friend. "You still go to that church?" And they sit there in their nice, big, beautiful new automobile with their big fat wallet and all their fine luxury and their beautiful new home and large bank account. And a career that's just so successful and so many good things happening and so many friends and so many wonderful opportunities in life. And they seem to be right on top of everything. And there you sit in your jalopy with smoke coming out of it. With holes in the bottom of your shoe. And amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then they say to you, "Wouldn't you like to be successful too?" Well, come to me. Come with me to a meeting tonight and let me show you how you can be successful too. But I have church tonight. Well, what is that church doing for you? Look at the car you're driving. Look at the clothes you're wearing. And you might be sitting there saying, I feel good, I feel good, I feel fine. I've got joy, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. I'm so happy, happy, happy. And your flesh has just been subdued and overcome. And then some other flesh comes along and says, so what good is all that doing? You know. So not only do you have to put your own flesh down, sometimes you have to put their flesh down too. Because this devil, this Satan that comes through many little imps who are trying to be like their example. You know, Lucifer was all right before pride was found in his heart. And God had to cast him down. And he became a devil. Not, as I said, an opposite equal with God, but something that God has control over. Amen. God uses the devil to accomplish his purpose. Amen. Sometimes you think the devil just got too much power. Well, maybe you need to give glory to God because something's trying to wake you up. Satan can't touch you unless he has permission from God. And if God gives him permission, there's a big victory coming your way. Because he gives you the power in the name of Jesus to tread on that thing's head.
Right.
Amen. To use that as a challenge and an opportunity to overcome evil with good.
Amen.
And to be able to rise above anything that would try to hinder your life. The devil's been after me all day. I heard one lady say it down in Arkansas. The devil's been after me all day. Bless his sweet name. Amen. Well, we have all this to deal with, and it comes around us, but we need to remember the Word of God. Job's wife says, why don't you just give up on God? His own companion he loved, his companion that brought him forth, all these children, why don't you just give up on God? Look at you. What she had her eyes on was the physical side, the flesh, the weakness, the trouble, the loss, the things that are not as we want them to be. We had all this, now we don't have all that anymore. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't look right. Doesn't feel right. And Job says, well, you speak like a foolish woman. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to keep trusting Him no matter what. Even if He kills me, I'm going to trust God. Amen. I came into this life with nothing. So if I have anything, it's more than I had when I started out. And if the Lord gives it, He can take it away. But I'm not going to give up on the one that brought me forth, gave me what I had, and decided He wanted it back. Because all I got left now is God. But you don't need any more than that. Because the same one that gave it can give it again. And if He doesn't want me to have it, I don't need it. Because I want God more than anything. Though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. I will not put my mind and my hopes and my and everything that I desire in life just in the things I possess or what seems comfortable to me.
Glory.
Poor old Paul, going through some things. Stoned and left for dead. For doing what? Preaching. Preaching what? The truth. Evangelizing. Doing missionary work. Starting churches. Going out and telling people, you need God in your life. I have seen and I have heard and I know. I know I have met with God for myself. I learned who Jesus really is. I have changed because God has gotten a hold of me. He has brought me forth in a new and living way. And I want to share it with you. And suddenly, boom, there's a rock hits him in the face. Blood shoots out his nose. Nose shoots out his blood. Either way you want to do it. Then another rock hits him in the face. Then one hits him in the back of the head. And they're all around him, people surrounding him, throwing rocks at him. And all he's doing is telling people about Jesus. You think you got it rough. Amen. Paul had it rough too. He didn't live in the United States of America in our day with law and order such as we have. Amen. He lived in a day where if you say something people don't agree with, they just beat you to death. Stone you to death. Boom, boom, pow, here they go. And he's just telling them about Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. And they finally think he's dead. I mean, they didn't just play around with those rocks. They were there to kill that man. And they stoned him and left him for dead. And when they all had gone away thinking there's no hope for him, he opened his eyes, gets up in his pool of blood, bruises and skin marks all over him, cuts, abrasions. Guess he clears his throat and says, "Praise God, I'm strong. And I want to go right back to where those rascals came from and preach to them again." Now that's some strength beyond what most of us have ever experienced. Three times I sought to God, the Lord, about this thorn in my flesh. And this messenger of Satan that buffets me. Amen. I sought the Lord. And if you look at the wording, you can also see something that we may have in common with Paul from time to time. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." Now, we feel like we've got the truth, don't we? We're Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, one God, apostolic, tongue talking, living for God, enduring to the end, saved people. Where did all this revelation come from? Came from God. And we're enjoying the truth that has set us free, has changed us, has made a difference in our lives. We're enjoying this. We can tell we enjoy it by listening to each other testify. These testimonies are a blessing in our church. We get together and we talk about the victory and how great it is to know the Lord and the things that we have learned since we come to serve God through revelation. And they're so simple since they've been revealed from God that we don't see how other people can't see the same truth, because it's so there in the Word of God. All you got to do is look at it and believe it. The Godhead, the Jesus name baptism, it's all right there. It's just so plain to see. And we see it. And yet our friends, when we see it and we talk about it, they leave our pal talk room. Don't want anything to do with that conversation. They change the subject. They walk away if we're on the street. Our family and our friends think we're involved in some kind of a cult or some kind of demonology or something. All of a sudden, it just seems like we're in a category of being rejected. But then we get to thinking about all we have and all we know, and it's wonderful to serve the Lord because we have revelation coming from God. And I suppose if we would allow ourselves, we could get exalted even in that. Just lifted up in ourselves, because we know Acts 2:38. And we know the truth of Jesus' name. And we know what it takes to be saved. And I believe that from what I read in the Word of God and what I gather and what I conclude in some of these scriptures that I've been reading, that God does not want us to get too lifted up in ourselves, because He's given us so much knowledge and so much revelation. Because there's still a world out here that God cares about. God cares about every soul that does not understand what we have come to know. God loves every individual regardless of what they have settled on to be the answer in the Word of God, even if it's false, if it's an error, even if they're lost and on their way to hell. God loves them. And He has put a responsibility on His people, along with revelation, to be able to preach this truth with love. And to be able to stand firm and keep an invitation open. And it's a difficult mixture sometimes to get it all worked out, because here we are with so much knowledge, and we know that we know that we know. And we know that what we've got is from God. And we want them to know it so much. But when we start telling it, they become our enemies. And then we look for answers. And it seems that God says to us, You know the answer. And we start asking, we know the way? His disciples did it that way, you know. The way you know. Lord, show us the way. You know the way. What do I do now? You know. And then we have to remind ourselves, hey, wait a minute. I'm not in this thing by myself. The way through all walls and across all rivers and through every battle is within me. And the answer for every situation that's difficult in my life is within me. And the wisdom I need for this challenge that I'm going to face is within me. And the knowledge that I need beyond what I have is within me. And what I don't know, the one that does know is within me.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And so when you don't know the answers and you don't have any idea, you don't have a clue what you're going to do next, stand up and shout, I know the way. I have a plan. I know the answer. I have the wisdom and the knowledge to carry this thing all the way to the end. And I'm strong. But God is saying to all of His people, don't confess weakness. Don't confess defeat. Don't confess anything that would cause you to feel like you're not going to make it. Confess Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Romans is telling us. Confess Jesus with your mouth. Believe in your heart and confess in your mouth that He's Lord of my circumstances. He is Lord of my life. He is the answer. When I don't know the answer, I can raise my hand and say, I do know the answer. I do know the answer. Because I believe not just in this cheap talk that says I believe with all my heart and He knows my heart. But I'm talking about believing my heart to the point that I'm going to give up some things and go for it no matter what it looks like. I'm going to turn in the right direction, separate myself from the world and do what God would have me to do even though I don't know where He's taking me. Because I believe with all my heart that He is God. He is my God and there is no other God. And when I will follow Him, He will take me into the right path. Hallelujah. Praise Him today. Praise Him today. Hallelujah. I don't know, but Thou knowest. Three times I sought the Lord, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Lest I'd be too exalted because of all that He has showed me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It's so amazing to see how God operates. The Bible tells us plainly, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then God says, I want to dwell in your flesh. The Bible tells us that all flesh is as grass. Here today and gone tomorrow. Then a Savior is born. A little baby with flesh grows up and a man with flesh walks around. And somebody says, show us the Father. And He says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, then they start trying to figure that one out. Well, we'll be satisfied if you'll just show us the Father. Well, I and my Father are one. See, flesh and blood kind of get mixed up on all this. The brain starts ticking and we start listening to thoughts. The mind can become so deceiving. Because it's like theory. You build things on theory. And the theory may not necessarily be a good foundation. Because the theory didn't come from fact. It came from somebody's conclusion. Maybe this is what happened. So, and you try to build a house on that. You go out and look at a field and you say, I suppose that's good, solid ground that will hold a large structure. And so you have this theory. It looks good. It seems right. And you go ahead and you just start building that house. A 6-story mansion. And as you're building it, all of a sudden, right in the middle of the building, something shifts and the whole building just turns sideways. People fall off of it and a bunch of people get killed. You wonder, what happened? What went wrong? You were building based on your theory. It seems right. It looks right. So thus it has to be right. Not necessarily. In order to build anything that will last and that will stand, we need to have something besides a theory. There needs to be some digging down. Take a look and see what's underneath here. See if it will support long range our goal. Before we start putting that foundation there, let's make sure that we've got something solid underneath the foundation. Hallelujah. And so the theory that the brain comes up with about God and all the thoughts results in so many religions, so many people going so many directions trying to figure it all out. Then all of a sudden they walk across a few little people that they think of as nuts on the backside of nowhere that won't bother anybody if you leave them alone. And they find us preaching Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, one God. They killed all the disciples for this kind of stuff. They crucified Jesus for teaching some of these things. Turn the air back on before I melt. You're welcome. And I'm watching the clock. But I don't like to be bound by the clock. Because I'm on a good subject today. I'm on a good subject and I'm almost through. And the video's still working. And everything's in good shape. And I can fix the little blackouts that go wrong once in a while. All right. So anyway, so we build all these theories, and then we get ourselves out here where things are not working right. People start needing to know how to solve this, how to solve that, how to do this, how to do that. And then they look into the Word of God, and there are answers there, and they try them, and they don't work. But a lot of these answers are for the people of God who are serving God in spirit and in truth. And not that God won't bless you if you're not there yet, but don't take your blessing to be salvation. A lot of people have been healed and they still need to get saved. But healing is to help bring you to salvation. God will heal you if you do the right things. If you trust God, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care where you come from. If you trust God and believe in God, God will heal you. He still has compassion on the multitude.
That's right.
He still will feed you if you're hungry for God. And if you're ignorant with your hunger, He knows that. And He's there to give you something to help you out so you will give Him some thanks and some praise and break down some barriers and some things that have got you captivated. As you start praising God, God starts shining His light and all of a sudden revelation comes. Amen. All of a sudden it dawns on you, hey, I've been trying to figure this out. Finally, I just relaxed and the Lord blessed me and now I see some things. And then He starts revealing and revealing and revealing things to you. And it doesn't come by your own application and your own study. And all the things you studied suddenly kind of get crucified. It just kind of destroys a lot of things you concluded because you had a good theory. But the truth is tearing your theory up. But it's beautiful, and it's a blessing, and I see now, I know now, I know some things I didn't know before. Where's this coming from? It's coming from a yielded vessel, a heart that wants to serve God, that knows God can heal, God can answer prayer. God loved me when I didn't have it all figured out, I didn't know what was going on, and He loves me so much now, He's sharing some things with me that I see now in the Word of God. Now, He wants us to stay in that level of loving others, caring for them, but not to the point of going back to where they are. Got to stay on this side of the river and say, it's better over here. Come on across. Amen. Come on over here where the good things are happening. But God reserves many of those beautiful blessings for His people. And some of those people who have concluded that I am a child of God, that I am serving God, that I have the truth, who have become argumentative and have decided that they have it all. Some of them even say things my family was raised this way, I've always been this way, and I will never change no matter what you show me in the Word of God. You can't change me, and you won't change me, and if it means I'm going to hell, I still won't change. Now that is pure stubbornness. That's another kind of thorn in your flesh. I mean, it gets a hold of you, and you exalt yourself on your stubborn will to keep it the way you think it should be. We all can have this problem on either side of the fence. But what we need to do is learn to let God have charge, regardless of where we are. And just say, God, you be God. Let the Lord be the God of my life. Confess that He is Lord. And that means He's in charge of every area. No matter what you think, to God be the glory. And if there's a thought that shouldn't be there, have Him to take that thought away from you and give Him something in place of it that you need. Hallelujah. And every way that you take, amen. If there's a way that you took that was wrong, amen. Go to God. Let Him show you the right way and give God the glory. Don't come to church all built up in yourself and all haughty and thinking you're holier than everybody else and you've got all the gifts and everything's in operation in your life and you can pray the prayer of faith and everybody else here needs to come up to where you are. Because God has a way of abasing those, even if they did come from God. All those blessings and all those revelations, and all those wonderful things that have happened in your prayer life does not give you a license to go around bragging that you're holier than somebody else, either in word or by trying to manifest it in the way you act. We don't have that problem here. We had them, they came, they went, and we're still here. Hallelujah. Some of them came in here so holy that they were hearing chains rattle sometimes. I don't understand some of that stuff. But the thorn in the flesh, let us stand. It doesn't matter to me what anybody thinks it might be. Because whatever it is hanging you up, keeping you from being able to be free in Jesus, it's probably coming from something that has to do with your flesh, something that has to do with the way we see, hear, feel. I've known some people that seem to lose a victory just when it's a cloudy day outside. When the sun's shining, woo, it feels so good. God is not looking for fair weather Christians. He wants somebody that can be going through the worst storm. The waves are dashing, and the boat seems to be sinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody will stand up and say, hey, nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to fear. I've been with the Lord during the night. We're going to come out of this thing okay. Hallelujah. A few minutes later, you find yourself splashing in the waves. The boat's been torn all to pieces. And all these people around said, I thought you'd never go be okay. And everybody's trying to swim for dear life. Hanging on boards. It doesn't seem right. I could just hear old Paul out there splashing around. Head bobbing up and getting strangled and water coming out of his nose. He talks to some of those guys around and says, keep swimming, boys. I've heard from God. I don't understand all this, but we're going somewhere. Yeah. Hang on to those boards. Don't give up. There's land right up ahead. Just keep on splashing. Keep on trying. And pretty soon, they were all okay. Just the boat was destroyed. And then Paul builds a fire, and a poisonous snake fastens itself on his hand. All this is in the Word of God for a reason. Not just a lesson about what Paul went through. Let's come around the front. But there may be a spiritual snake fastened on your hand today. You've been trying to build a fire in your life. You feel like you're on a deserted island and people around you don't understand you. And you want to get closer to God. And it seemed like there's something trying to destroy you and take you out all the time. Or Paul just kept on building that fire, even though a poisonous viper fastened itself on his hand. The lesson is, keep on building. Keep on trying. Keep knowing that God is with you. Amen. If you drink any deadly thing, confess you're not hurt. If something fastens itself on you that could kill you, praise God for life. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just keep building. Keep working on that fire. Keep working on it. Stick with it. Keep trying. Yes. Pretty soon the very ones that thought you were a goner are going to say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Must be some kind of a God or something. No, it's just a child of God. And it is a God. It is the God in our lives that takes us through these things. Just before they got to the island, Paul may have been tempted to shout, I guess there's no hope. Just like we have been tempted to shout a few times, all hope is gone. I've even seen pastors with their heads down. Because sometimes challenging situations in congregations come up and some pastors don't know what to do. And they run back and forth and they walk the floors and they cry and they just don't know what to do. They agonize. And I've seen some of them come to the point of saying, I guess I may as well just give up. And that is a sin that needs to be repented of. There's no giving up. That's like you're out here hanging on a board in the middle of the sea and it's storming, but the answer is just ahead. You don't know how it's just ahead, but at least there is a place where you're going to get some solid footing if you can hang on a little while longer. When you get there, no matter what happens, keep hanging on. And so you start building the fire and you know at least you're alive, and then a crazy thing happens to you again. That's no reason to give up either. Just hang on. Just hang on. Shake that devil off. Amen. Let's praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let those who feel down say, I am lifted up. Let those who are hungry say, I am well fed. Let those who feel like they're going backwards say, I am going forward. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you with me again. Praise Him with me again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let the weak say, I'm strong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let those that think you can't pay your bills say, I can pay these bills. Go ahead and tell your creditors, no matter what they say, how they accuse you of being a liar, or what they do, I will pay. And when they say, how? Say, I don't have that information yet. See you soon. Because I'm strong. And I'm rich. And I have a God who's on the throne. And I am His heir. And as Sister Vicki said to me on the phone the other day, God has control of all the money. And if she needs money to come to camp meeting, I don't care if it comes right down to the wire the last day, just a few hours beforehand, and we have to delay camp meeting a couple of days to give them time to get here, God is able to supply that need and give her the strength and help her to have the ability to come here and stand up here while I do the bunny hop and celebrate it and say, you know what? Nobody thought I was going to do it, including the people praying for me. But I got through to God because what Vicki wants, Vicki gets. I'm not going to join that crowd that says I don't think she can do it. And even if she don't come, I'm still going to think we're probably going to have another camp meeting just for her. Amen. There ain't no end to this stuff. When you start serving God, I don't care how many setbacks you get, you still get victory if you don't give up. One more time. Praise the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the weak say, hallelujah, I am strong. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.